back to business. Okay, we're at the very bottom of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Just to briefly summarize, to put us back on the page over here, we're talking about an Ir HaMiklot, where there's a tree hanging over with the branches either inside or outside of the city of refuge. And the question is, what does that tree symbolize, as it were, or how does it extend or decrease the amount of place for the city of refuge? So he said, if the branches are, let's again, I had a better prop last time, but if the branches are hanging over, so what did we say?
Through the branches.
We go by the branches, so it's considered outside, and even over here is considered outside, and you could get killed. If the branch is on the inside, then we go, and even this part is considered on the inside. That's what we said was the Mishnah.
Okay, I understand. What's this thing? You're holding the tree so that...
No, there's a tree that's growing out of the ground. He's sitting underneath it. Sitting underneath.
This is perfect.
Shelly, very good. It's like mamish, the tree. I don't know. I'm looking right at it, and I let it go by. Here we go, right? We just need a couple more branches, it'll be perfect. But no, it's good, it's good. So if you're underneath, you're living underneath the branch, right? So the branch is the primary thing, so it extends all the way out. So even if you're holding onto the tree here, you'll be considered inside. On the other hand, if it's like this, in other words, how do we view the tree? Do we go after the shady part, or do we after the root of the trunk? So we go after the shady part, and that makes the tree doesn't change the din of this part. This is always will save you, except this part of the tree, this spot right here.
So it's the area under the tree.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So does it extend this out? Does it take the tree out, as it were? Yeah, if it's here.
Oh, yeah. When you're out.
But if it's this way, then it extends the Ir HaMiklot out a little bit. That was what the Mishnah said.
Same for Meiser
Sheni. Oh, wait. So then we had the question. With Meiser Sheni.
Yes.
Meiser Sheni, the Mishnah said, we don't go with the tree at all. We just go with the boundary. And if this is your Yerushalayim, then this is the boundary, regardless of where you're standing under a tree. That was the question that we asked. And we said, and what does it matter by Meiser Sheni? Because remember, the border Yerushalayim means two things regarding Meiser Sheni. Number one, you have to eat the Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to eat it outside. Number two, if you want to redeem Meiser Sheni for money, can only redeem it outside Yerushalayim. You can't redeem it when it's inside Yerushalayim. So we brought a mishnah that said we don't care about the trees, we just care about the wall of Yerushalayim. To which the Gemara answered, wait a minute, you can't ask a question from the wall of Yerushalayim to Meiser to Ir HaMiklot, because the wall, it depends on seeing Hashem, as it were. And that is what the wall defines, seeing Hashem or not. While near a Miklot, it's a law of residency where you can live. So you can live under the branches, so to speak, and not under the inside of the tree. So it's two different definitions.
I didn't get the first part of that definition.
It says you have to eat the Meiser Sheni before Hashem's face, before Hashem. So what's before Hashem? The city of Yerushalayim is considered before Hashem. Inside the walled city is before Hashem. Outside, it's not considered before Hashem anymore. You got to be close enough to Hashem. But it has nothing to do with residing in Yerushalayim. Ir HaMiklot's protection is dependent on residence. So the tree will increase or decrease the residence area of that.
Why didn't we say the city of refuge protects because... it's Hashem who's protecting them?
No. It's the city refuge that you are dwelling in.
So who protects them?
The city. There's no soldiers. There's no nothing. The law.
Oh, okay.
The law. The law says you're not allowed to go in the city and kill the guy.
Okay.
Now, yeah, if he breaks the law, he breaks the law. And we will punish him accordingly. Okay, so now the question is, okay, what's the area of residence considered? Well, usually it's within the tchum. But if you got this tree over here... over here, right, then we increase the residency just a wee bit more because you could reside over here. If it goes over here, you decrease the residency.
Oh, the Avengers know that.
This is not allowed.
It's not allowed. Well, you're not protected. Uh-huh. You're not protected. That's that what we had.
Well, why would we have such a thought that to even...
Because trees are significant.
What's our basis for, like, you know...
You could live under a tree. You could live under a tree.
And, hope the Avengers
and it's rooted. It's rooted over here. And so the tree is extending, right? Clearly. And the main part of the tree is here. Again, we are a little pampered the way we live. In the olden days, you know, you just sit under a tree and
you
live. That's right. You got to put yourself back in those days. No running water. Like the world was different. That's the difference. So don't ask me any questions, says the Gemara. We're talking about two different halachas. To which Gemara said, wait a minute. Okay, but now I'm going to at least admit there's a contradiction within the laws of Maaser Sheni, because there's a brisa that says with Maaser Sheni, you go after the branches.
Yeah.
So at least there's a contradiction between Maaser Sheni and Maaser Sheni, to which really it becomes even a bigger question. In other words, if you want to say, well, what can you do? An Eir Miklat has one laws, Maaser Sheni has other laws. Fine. But let's just go back to this brisa. Just repeat this brisa. But the Tanya, but look at this brisa that you can't get out of this one. Yerushalayim, regarding Maaser Sheni, Holach Achar Hanof, we go after the branches, which clearly disagrees with the Mishnah that says we go after the wall. But a second thing, and that same brisa says, and Barei Miklat Holach Achar Hanof, and after your Miklat, you go after the branch. So clearly, at least admit to me that we have a contradiction between a Mishnah and a Braisa regarding the Maaser halachas. Do you go after the wall, you go after the tree. All right? That. So even though you might suggest, okay, why our Mishnah is talking about Eir HaMiklat, don't ask me questions from a Mishnah that's talking about Maaser Sheni. Two different types of laws. But if I have you another Braisa that quotes you, Maaser Sheni goes after the branches, at least there's a problem with that Mishnah to that Braisa that would have to get answered. And perhaps if you'll answer that, maybe we can have another answer between Maaser Sheni and Eir HaMiklat itself. So back to our Mishnah. And you come to the obvious answer the Gemara wants to suggest. That's where we got up to last week. So now, Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Lokash, it's not a question. The easiest way to answer that is you're going to have to say that the Mishnah goes according to one Tana, the Braisa goes like another Tana. You never like to answer that. You never like to increase arguments, and that's usually the last resort you do. You would like the entire Mishnayos to be as consistent as possible, and only where you have names clearly saying there's an argument. We had Mishnayos. Rabbi so-and-so says this, Rabbi so-and-so says that. Fine, it's a machlokas, is a machlokas. We can't undo a machlokas. But if you have a mission without a name, you have a brisa without a name, we'd like it that it would be same people. It's hard to say that they're saying different laws. So right away we said, well, when we asked the question from our Mishnah of Eir HaMiklat to the Mishnah of Maaser Sheni, we said that's not a problem. They are two different types of laws, so that's not any contradiction at all. But now that we brought a brisa that clearly is not going according to the Mishnah regarding Yerushalayim and Maaser Sheni, what are you going to do with that? So faced with no better solution, Amar Rav Kahana, as you're going to see, again, that's what the commentary says, the thing, Sam. It now offers a solution that resolves both contradictions. The one between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Maaser Sheni, and the one between the Mishnah Maestros and the Mishnah Maaser Sheni. Once we have to answer the question between one Mishnah and one Brice regarding Maaser Sheni, whatever answer we'll give could probably answer the first question we asked between Maaser Sheni and Eir HaMiklat, not having to say that it's different laws. It could be just a different answer. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what he says. The solution offered until now for the contradiction between our Mishnah about Eir HaMiklat, the Mishnah Maaser Sheni, that the laws of Maaser Sheni and the Sefer Bereishis are different, cannot be applied to the contradiction of the Mishnah Maaser Sheni and the Mishnah Maestros that's dealing with just Maaser Sheni. For both these Mishnahs deal with Maaser Sheni. clear that different rulings do not arise from a difference in subject matter. It's the same subject matter. So we've got to come up with another answer for there, and perhaps that will answer even the question that we started off with our mission as well, with Yerah Miklah. That's where the Gemara is going in that direction. The Gemara says, and this is the answer, very simple answer. Lokash, it's not a question. Ha Rav Yehuda, this one Mishnah that taught the Braisa, that talks about, what do you call it? We go after the branches. And our Mishnah that says you go after the branches, that's according to Rav Yehuda. And that other bright Mishnah about Meister Sheni, you go by the wall of Yerushalayim, Hadrabbanan. That's the rabbis. So now we really basically said, there's a machlokas Tanoim, if you go by the actual boundary, or do you go with, or you go by the branches? It becomes a machlokas tanoim. Okay, that's, we don't like to say that answer, but that seems to be the most reasonable. How can you explain one Mishnah by Meister Sheni says you go by the wall, one Bryce says you go by the branches? We're left forced to say it's a machlokas, and that's it. And we'll maybe one will say the same thing with Yerah Miklah too. And now we got to show you where that machlokas is as we're going to turn the page to Yud Beis Amud Beis. Did Tanya, for we learn a price of something different but similar regarding Yerushalayim and the laws of Meister Sheni, we're going to talk about caves. Now, one thing you know, Yerushalayim's got a lot of caves. Okay? So now the question is, if you have food, Meister Sheni food you're bringing in, let's say you have, I'm trying to figure out how to do this, I don't know yet. Anyway, you got a cave. Let's say you have a cave that's completely underground in Yerushalayim. So that's like being in Yerushalayim. That's nothing to talk about. But what about if the cave has an opening? It's a one-way, it's not a two-way cave. It's a one-way cave. One way in, same way out. What if the cave starts outside of the wall of Yerushalayim? And now the rest of the cave is in Yerushalayim, underground.
Yes.
But it doesn't take you inside.
So in other words, the opening of the cave is outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, and the rest of the cave is inside the walls of Yerushalayim, or the opposite. Well, the entrance into the cave is inside the walls of Yerushalayim, and the rest of the cave is outside of Yerushalayim. So Gemara's going to suggest that that's pretty similar to the idea of the branches in the tree. Okay, because it's not exactly the same, but the entrance is key. Without the entrance, you have no access to the cave. Like, what's a cave worth to you if you don't have an entrance? I mean, theoretically, there could be many caves in the world that we don't know about because there's no entrance. A cave is only space in between the rock that's above and the rock that's below. You could have millions of caves you're unaware of. You're only aware of it when there's an opening. So it would suggest that the opening is a very important part of the cave. All right? So this becomes the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim regarding such a cave. And we'll say the same idea. So every Mishnah that goes with the wall, with the boundaries of Yerushalayim, or the boundaries of the Yerah Miklah, will be like the Chachamim. Anyone who says you want to go after other factors, like the opening of the cave or the branches, would be Rabbi Yehuda, and that would be the resolution to the differences. It's a played out machlokas. Here's the case. Yehuda Omer, this is another Mishnah. B'ma'ara, by a cave, holech achar pischa, you go after the opening. Accordingly, a cave that is entirely within the bounds of the Yerushalayim, but whose opening is outside, is regarded as being entirely outside. And what's the law? You cannot eat Meister Sheni anywhere in the cave, even underground Yerushalayim, and you cannot redeem any Meister Sheni inside that cave. A cave that's located entirely outside the city, but its opening is inside, is regarding as being entirely inside. Therefore, one may not redeem Meister Sheni anywhere in the interior, but could probably eat anywhere in the interior. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And if that's the case with the cave,
so the
1 second, and Be'ilan Holech Achar Nofa. And therefore, regarding the parts of a tree, you go after the branches, right? So Rabbi Yehuda speaks. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is clearly, where does he make his statements? Only by Meister Sheni. He said his statement by wall, caves inside Yerushalayim. So therefore, since he speaks regard to Meister Sheni, he classifies the entire tree according to the location of his branches. So that's Rabbi Huda's opinion. By cave, by tree. Rabbis dispute Rabbi Huda. They rule that each part of the tree is classified according to its location. Okay, one second. What's, I don't know why this is happening now. Okay, in general, when a Tanaic view is cited in the same name of a specific Tana, it is assumed to be disputed by other Tanoim. Mm-hmm. See, he's asking a question. We only brought Rabbi Yehuda. We didn't bring anybody else. How do you know it's a Machlokas? Mm-hmm. So saying, whenever you have a name, you don't have to have a name unless he holds this and everybody else holds different. Mm-hmm. If everybody holds position A, you don't have to say a name. Many Mishnais don't have names because there's no argument. Okay. If you just say Rabbi Huda says this, why are we saying Rabbi Huda? Is there any other rabbi in the world? Must be. It's implying Rabbi Huda is the only one who says this opinion. Others say different. That's why he's adding this line here, because they're not bringing you the Chachamim who are arguing. That's all this footnote is telling you. Well, you told me Rabbi Huda, I don't know the rabbi's opinion. That's what he's saying. When you bring in of just one Tana's name, it's assumed to be disputed by other Tanaim. Since if it were universally accepted, it would have been cited anonymously. The Gemara therefore assumes that Rabbi's ruling is disputed by the rabbis.
Okay, okay. This motion to expand it. Could be added that.
Okay.
What? No, I just have to work on it and fix it. I can fix it. Let me just finish one little point, then I'll get you. I just want to get the whole thing. So our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Maestros are in accord with the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who's going by the opening of the cave and by the
branches.
They therefore rule that with respect to the laws of a city of refuge and my sustaining without location of the branches as well. He said by a cave, he said specifically cave. Specifically cave. We'd assume the same thing's gonna be with the branches. The Mishnah Maaseh Shein is according to the view of the rabbis. It therefore rules that each part of a tree is classified according to its actual location. That's according to the rabbis. One left. Whoa, baby. Previously, the Gemara resolved the context between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Maaseh Shein in differentiating between the law of an Ir Miklat and the law of Maaseh Shein. Saying an Ir Miklat depends on where you're living. And Maaseh Shein is a different, it's depending on being before Hashem's face. That was the original answer. Now, faced with the contradiction in Maaseh Shein itself, the Mishnah were forced, we want to say a different answer. Gemara is now abandoning that approach because of the Mishnah Maaseh, which accords with our Mishnah, but deals with Maaseh Shein also, deals with both. Gemara explains that our Mishnah and the Mishnah Maaseh follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah Maaseh Shein, however, follows the view of the rabbis. According to this understanding, our Mishnah's ruling is based not on a special rule for an Er HaMiklat that depends where you're living, but on the general position that the law views the branches of a tree as its main component and all other tree parts as legally subsidiary to them. In other words, now when you're saying that when you're in an Er HaMiklat, we go by the branches, it's not because we're dealing with residency, but there's a simple statement. Where is a tree? Is a tree considered to be primarily located under the branches or by the trunk? That becomes a little different of a position. More at this point, I want to say that is the position of our Mishnah. It's not because we say it's a law of residing, and that's unique to that, but in other areas we would follow the base. No, we want to say now, no, it's a law of the tree. And the tree, we always go with the branches. Mm-hmm. Finished. And that becomes a machlokes, we're suggesting now, Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim, wherever we deal with any situation, let's always look at where the branch is. Period. That's the main part of the tree. Well, the rabbis will say, no, we don't look at that at all, but rather we're going to look at the city, and we don't look at anything else. That's where we're up to now. Yeah, Shelley? Now, okay.
Yeah,
I thought I was clarifying.
Well, first of all, I don't see why how we can compare a tree to a cave, because the entrance of a cave, well, you just said the primary part of a tree is its branches, and the primary part of the cave is its entrance. But still, there is no entrance to the tree.
Well, climbing it. Climbing is an entrance, so to speak. You have to climb the tree to get the fruits and all that. So you have to like go up the trunk.
So then you're inside you're going by the trunk.
No, you're not. You're still going to the branches.
You can't get to the branches if you don't start at the trunk. That's the equivalent of the entrance.
No, I think what he's I hear what you're saying. I think we're trying to say like this.
That
if you have two choices, Shelley, do we go just by a border? which is really an artificial border. I mean, a border. Yeah, and that's it. I don't want to talk about anything else. So, well, let's look at the factors. Let's look at the factors. Now, factors of a cave. Okay, what would you say is the most important part of a cave?
Yeah,
the opening.
Yeah.
Now, so you're looking at the entrance. You're focused on the word entrance. That's why you want to apply it to the tree. Okay. But let's say, what's the most important part of a tree? The branches. Mm-hmm. For different reasons. So the most important part of the cave for the reason of, because that's the only way you can get in. Because without that, forget it. In other words, I have no cave. I have no cave, period. But when I'm talking about a tree, well, what do I really want about the tree?
What shade?
Right? And I got the whole thing. There's no opening here, right? I need the shade, yeah. Right? So, and I have access to the shade. I don't have to go through an opening of a cave to get to the shade. You see, that's what I think is, what is the primary part? But the primary can be defined with different reasons. I think you're hung up on, you want to say it's the same reason all the way through. If you can't get into the cave, so you're saying it's a law of access to the main part. So that's what you're asking. Well, it should be over here, because this is my access to that. But what I think he's saying is, no, what's the main part? And the main part can be for different reasons. The main part, when you're looking at a whole tree, I don't need this, I don't want this, I just want that. That's all. With a cave, I really need the entrance. But I hear your svara, but right now the Gemara seems to not accept your svara.
So he says it with a house that's half built. And this side,
after
this side.
Exactly. Yeah, so that would be another discussion. I guess the door. I don't know. That's okay. That's a good question. Okay. Yeah. What? Go ahead.
Just a quick question regarding, like, everything goes after the nof. Like, if you have a fruit tree in your backyard and it's leaning over, would Rabbi Yehuda say anyone can kind of just come pick up the tree? It's like, it's not yours.
That'd be some interesting halachas. That'd be some interesting halachas.
Now is if your branches overhang,
that's right.
The neighbor.
Then I could just have the fruits.
If you hold it, then no. But maybe a nuisance tree, you know, make a mess. The neighbor is entitled to chop off the branches that overhang his side.
Your property.
Okay, so now you're going to a new area. Now you're talking about ownership.
Yeah.
Ownership's a whole different halacha. So, and there's going to be halachas when you deal with Baba Basra with trees. And that's a whole another issue because it's dealing with ownership. Okay.
So, Rabbi, I had a question.
Okay.
So, you were talking about the opening of the cave. So, suppose the opening of the cave is out of Yerushalayim. He cannot go inside and eat. But he can.
But if the opening is outside Yerushalayim, you cannot eat it in the cave.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you can redeem it. You can redeem it. Right. Okay.
You could redeem it.
And if it is,
but then you got to go outside the cave, inside
Yerushalayim to eat it,
and then eat it. Yeah. Exactly.
Dig a hole.
All right, that's the Gemara's answer. Well, but not okay. Now, okay. So just okay. I hear your question. Anyway, the Gemara's got another question, and remember, Rabbi Yehuda really said his law. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda said his law specifically about a cave. He did not say it specifically by a tree. We're just deducing that, and you already see Shelley's pushing back on it. But you know, I hear, and the Gemara. It's good. But Gemara's going to, you know what? Your question may be a good question at the end of the day, but the Gemara found a better one. Okay, and therefore, but I hear your point. Up to this point, the Gemara assumed to say it didn't matter, but I hear your point. The Gemara now is going to say, throw a whole different thing to say, no.
So the Mishnah ends at Pitcha?
Really, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bemara Holech Achar Pitcha. The Gemara assumed, well, obviously, then Bilan, Holech Achar Nofel. That would be his position. Okay, so you are attacking that. In other words, you're right. The Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said it only by a cave.
Yeah.
And the Gemara assumes it's obvious to be the same thing with a tree. So Shelley's saying it's not so obvious. Good. Gemara's going to say a much stronger question. Why that's not such a simple thing. Because let's think about what are the two consequences. In other words, what's the consequence of an Ira Miklot that we're interested in? And what's the consequence of a cave and Meister Sheni?
Right.
What's the consequence? Well, can you eat it in Yerushalayim or not? Can you redeem it in Yerushalayim or not?
Yeah.
does the guy get killed or not? So now the question is, sometimes when you go with, and again, when you're going with a branch or a cave, an opening, sometimes for some areas it'll be a leniency, and for some areas it'll be a stringency. Remember, we're talking about redeeming. Although it's a stringency in one area, it's a leniency in another area, right? Let's say where you want to eat it. What would be considered a stringency? Let's say you got some crops, right? You want to eat it. What would be considered a stringency? Eating it in Yerushalayim or eating it outside Yerushalayim?
Eating it outside.
In.
Because it's astringent. Because I have to go into your Yerushalayim.
That's the way it is.
But I'm saying there's a stringency where it, or, and on the other hand, it could be a stringency or leniency regarding where to redeem it.
Right.
So what the Gemara is going to suggest is maybe Rabbi Yehuda only said his law by the cave to be stringent. Okay, but not necessarily to be lenient, which we could not apply to an Ir HaMiklot.
Okay.
Because there's big differences in Ir HaMiklot if the guy can get killed or not.
Right.
It's a way big difference. So we'll see. So just because he said the law by a cave doesn't mean he says the law. So you were driving at a similar type of question for a different reason. The Gemara is going like this. Amar perhaps the Shama... Hello? Amar the Shamat Leila Rabbi Yehuda Gabi Meiser. Maybe he only said the law. We go after the opening by Meiser. And he only said it. L'chumra. To be strict. What does that mean? In other words, I could say that he heard Rabbi Yehuda express to you about Meiser Sheni, the entire tree. Oh yeah, but the tree also. I'm sorry. He said it by a cave and a tree, but only by Meiser Sheni.
Okay.
Only, I'm sorry, he said it by the tree too. But both of them, because it represents astringency as follows. That is to say, had the Mishnah Maestris limited its ruling to Maestris Shani, it would have made sense to attribute it to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah before. But now the Mishnah speaks of both Maestris Shani and Ore Miklat, the attribution is difficult to support. For one could argue that Rabbi Yehuda only talked about Meister Shani, classified a tree by the location of its branches only where doing so represents a stringent restrictive ruling. In the case of Meister Shani, such a ruling would emerge no matter where the branches and trunk are located. The Gemara will demonstrate that whether the trunk is inside and the branches outside, or the branches inside and the trunk outside, classifying the tree by the location of branches represents astringency. We'll see in a minute why. In the case of Arya Miklat, classifying a tree by location of its branches represents astringency only when the branches are inside. That means you can't kill him, not when they're outside. This would mean that the tree's branches are outside of Sirbi. Yehuda agrees the tree is not classified by its branches because you'd want to be consistent with stringency. But the Mishnah rules can't say that, though. But the Mishnah rules that the tree is judged by its branches in both cases, both where the trunk is outside and the branches inside, or where the trunk is inside and the branches outside. Therefore, it can't be the Yehuda, as we shall see. Okay, you'll see in a minute. In other words, you see what's going on over here. When we learned our Mishnah, we said, well, either way, we go with the branches. Sometimes it's a stringency, sometimes a leniency. Right? Can you kill? Can you not kill? It goes both ways. I don't know if Rabbi Yehuda held that. Maybe only holds you go with the branches only when it's a stringency and not when it's a leniency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, he's going to show you now. So maybe he only said, remember he said, the cave, you go by the outside, and by a tree, you go with the branches. But maybe he only said you go with the branches in the when it's a stringency, such as Ikara Bachutz. Let's say the main part of the tree is outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. Venofa Bifnim, and the branches are inside. Then we're going to classify the entire tree as inside of the city.
Right?
And therefore it's inside the city, and therefore you cannot...
So you can.
Okay, you can eat it there, but you can't... Can't redeem it. Accordingly, just as one perched on its branches may not redeem Meiser Shani.
Right.
He
can eat it.
For going after the nose.
If he's on the branches.
Right? If he's on the branches, we go with the branches, right? He cannot redeem Meiser Shani there. That's right. Be'ikaro Nami lo matzi parik. So therefore the main one, he also can't exchange it, right? Although the trunk is physically outside the city, he should be able, maybe he says, we go after the nof only to make it strict. What's the stringency? You can't redeem it.
Right.
I mean, the guy would prefer to redeem it because it's easier to deal with in Yerushalayim. We say you go after the branches, we're saying to be strict. What's strict? Well, when it's inside here, we'll be strict. You can't redeem here. You can't redeem here. Although normally you could redeem if it wasn't a tree over here. But maybe you only said it regarding to be strict. But on the other hand, if ikarum bifnim, what if the main part is inside? Venofa b'chutz, maybe then he says, I'm not going to go with the branches to be lenient. To say you can redeem it even inside, then no. Ki hechi de benofa lo matzi ocho b'lib p'diyah. Just like on this part over here, you can't eat it. Now I'll be strict the other way. You want to eat it outside? You can't, because why? Because it's outside Yerushalayim. Bikaro. So therefore, in the main part, you can also not eat it without redemption either. So maybe he only said it to be strict, but not to be lenient. In other words, there's two aspects. There's to be strict, you have to redeem it inside Yerushalayim. To be strict, you have to eat it inside Yerushalayim. Then we only go with the branches only to be strict, but not to be lenient. So therefore, when it's like this, what are we going to say? We go after this part to say that what I have to bring it. We go after this is considered outside of Yerushalayim, and therefore I have to bring it into Yerushalayim, and I'm not going to be lenient to say that I could redeem it outside. I won't give you that leniency. I'm only going to go with the stringency. And I'm going with this part only to be stringent as well, to say that, okay, this is all considered inside, and I have to eat the, I can't redeem it when it's outside. But to be lenient, we wouldn't. We thought just always after the branch, and whatever the law is, it's considered in or out. We're saying not anymore. Maybe he's only being strict. And in being strict, I go after the branches when it makes it strict. But I don't essentially go after the branches to include the whole tree is under the branches. I only take it to be on the strict side, but not to be on the lenient side. Okay? So therefore, but on the other hand, with an ir hamiklot, he's not going to want to apply it that way, because it's not going to work so good for the ir hamiklot. It'll be a different law altogether. And that's where, unfortunately, we're going to have to stop it here. I'm sorry, it's in midstream over here. But the Gemara is going to say this, but by Ir HaMikvah, it will not work out that way at all. So we're going to have to leave it at that part. Sorry, they didn't want to.
We won't do this until 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, we're going to have to do a little more Chazor. All right.